I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to this edition of our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener, as promised, Teresa Rooney, answering those questions again this week. Teresa, good morning. Nice to have you back.
Good morning, Denny. It's great to be back.
I'm looking at the forecast, as we want to do here a lot on the radio, and wow, above average temperature. We're going to see a lot of our lawns, maybe a lot of leaves I never got to, which is unfortunate. But what
these things happen.
That's true. And again, Mother Nature does what Mother Nature does, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Exactly.
And a lot of folks are applauding that we're going to have warmer than average temperatures. That doesn't do any damage to our trees, shrubs, plants, things like that, does it? I mean, it
really doesn't, because it's not going to last long enough for them to come out of dormancy. It may push them a tiny bit, but it takes plants a long time to change what they're doing, to react to things, unless it's like catastrophic, like a tornado or a hailstorm or something, or a fire. But something like temperature, it takes them a little while to react. So just a week or two, they'll be fine. But this could be a great time to make sure that your plants aren't being nibbled on by critters. Maybe if you have some leaves that are loose that you want to carefully get picked up, and then you can overseed. You can do your dormant seeding for your grass in those areas if you need to. You can do things like that.
That's a good idea. And I'm thinking, too, that in the worst-case scenario, if we do lose, and I hope we don't, if we do lose all of our snow cover, at least around these parts, and then we get a terrible freeze, that's not good.
No, but the ground is fairly cool, and hopefully if we lose that snow cover, if the ground has thawed enough that we lose that snow cover, it makes the ground very damp, so then that's very hard to freeze that damp soil. If the soil is really dry, the frost can be driven down very deeply, but this is Minnesota, so we just got to keep our fingers crossed, right?
Absolutely.
And if you do have some of those plants, maybe you have some tender plants, and we do lose all of our snow cover, and they do say we're going to get a deep freeze, maybe you can put some more protection around them on the crown of the plant to protect it a little bit.
It's a good idea. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, now is your chance. You can call it in. We'd love to hear from you. You can chat with Teresa. Or if it's easier, like some folks are doing, send a text. Either way, here's one number to remember, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Love to hear from you this morning. Texter sent this in just a bit ago, Teresa. I have a lemon tree that is about 3 feet high. It is loaded with 100-plus flower buds.
Ooh.
Should I be pruning out some of those buds so that the tree can put its energy into a smaller number of lemons? In the past, most of the buds fall off, and I end up with one lemon.
I would just wait until the buds start to open, and then see which buds actually get fertilized and actually start to grow into a lemon. And then you can just carefully prune off. If there's a whole bunch of lemons, then carefully prune off those. But until it's ready to actually produce fruit, I just give it a chance. Normally, if you're doing an apple tree, you would wait until some of the apples were starting to show so you knew where the fruit was, and then you can cull out the fruit judiciously where you want to. You may want to do some self-pollinating with a little Q-tip going between flowers if you find that most of your flowers are falling off. Try to keep the temperature and the moisture and the light requirements the same, and try not to knock the tree. So that will help you maybe get more than one lemon. But even one lemon is a special treat. Congratulations.
Yeah, I should say.
Yeah. Smells so good.
Oh, doesn't it,
though?
Yeah. I miss that. I was thinking, here we are, only February 7th. But is there something we could start growing right now in our windowsill or our plant base or with growing lights? Or
it's really a little early. There are a few seeds that take a long time to germinate, and probably the windowsill is not the best place unless you have really well-insulated glass and it stays nice and warm. It stays above, say, 70 all the time. That might not be what's happening if you're closing the curtains and that's behind the curtain. You could go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, go to the yard and garden tab, and there is a seed starting indoors article for you to read. The problem is here in Minnesota, we want to start seeds so early, we get a little excited. So we start them a little too early, and then we get these long, leggy, weak plants that we're fighting with in April and May, and it's still too cold to get them out. You could do some winter sowing right now, but that's going to put the seeds outside. But it is a way to get, you know, back in touch with some seedless soil mix and some seeds and start the growing process. So you could do some winter sowing. That could be fun.
I was just going to ask you about that because we talked about that last week, winter sowing. That sounds like a neat idea. And you've done
it
a lot, haven't you?
I have. Some years it goes really well. Some years it doesn't go really well. You know, it's just I always put it to my human error and I messed up something somewhere. But it happens. And if nothing happens, you've got little containers of nice soilless mix that you can add to your garden that are full of dead seeds. That's the worst that can happen. You lose the cost of the price of some seed packets that you purchased, the seeds that you purchased, and that's about it. So it's kind of a win-win, and it can be very therapeutic just to get your hands back in the soil again and reconnect and just look forward to spring because it will come eventually, despite what Puxatawny Phil said or whatever.
That rascal.
That rascal.
Keep in mind, you can always call. In fact, we'd love to, always love to get phone calls as well. You can chat with Teresa personally, 651-461-9226, and ask Teresa your lawn and garden question via telephone, you know, the old way.
The old-fashioned way, yes.
The old-fashioned way. All right. Let's see. We're getting a bunch of texts as well. Good morning, texter says, I have an anthurium that has 11 blooms on it, but it's getting very crowded in the pot. How and when should I repot it? Thank you. Love the show. Well, thank you.
I probably wouldn't. You know, if it's blooming, it seems like it's happy. You don't want to disturb it while it's blooming. I would probably wait until I have to repot it outside or until you set it in a pot outside in spring. That's when I would do the repotting. Right now, you know, you'd be messing up the blooms and you don't want to lose those blooms. So if you're going to transplant it, I would wait until maybe spring and some of those blooms have started to fade a bit. Then you can go ahead and transplant it. But it sounds very happy right now.
Well, I should say.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's time for a quick break, Teresa. So hang on.
Okay.
Again, inviting our listeners to join in on this conversation. 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for you this hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And good Saturday morning to you. If you're just joining us, Denny Long back with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those lawn and garden questions for you this hour the phone. If you want to call it in, that's great. If you want to send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. And I'm thinking how folks are going to be thinking spring. I know it's only February, but given this forecast, wow.
I mean,
30, mid to upper 30s, 40s. This coming week. Again, a lot of melting going on. But you mentioned the website, and I think that's something for folks, if they haven't checked it out yet, extension.umn.edu. One thing I'm going to do, I think, later on this afternoon is look at the lawn. We talk about lawns a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
About that lawn set. There's a whole program you can read up about, right?
There is. There's a whole section on lawns. Do you have to redo your lawn? When to put crabgrass control down? How to overseed? When to overseed? How tall should you cut your grass? How should you water? What kind of seeds should you put down? There's all kinds of information on there, and they keep updating it all the time, so you get the newest and most research-based information that that there is out there. I know when I first started as a master gardener last century, we were told to cut our grass shorter in the fall, and now we're told not to do that much anymore. So things change, and it's nice to keep up on what's coming out. The research that they're doing is just amazing.
All right.
It really is.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get back to the text messages, but let's grab some phone calls.
Okay.
First up, Mitch calling from St. Paul. Mitch, good morning. What is your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney?
Well, thank you very much. I really love this show. Say, I am a science teacher, and we have a native plant garden in our school, and we harvest the seeds every year, and we do very well with a lot of them. Purple coneflower, they're in the fridge right now. We'll take them out in a little bit and grow them. But one we have a trouble with, this is a problem one, is one of my favorites, is purple prairie clover. It's like I take the seeds out, I run them through the refrigerator, I do everything, I think I'm doing it right, and they don't germinate. And that doesn't take them long to germinate. Do I need to leave them in the refrigerator longer? Do I need to sandpaper them? I mean, I don't know what to do.
That would be tough to sandpaper. Those are little seeds, if I remember right.
I know.
I'm not sure, Mitch. I'm going to do some research, and if I can, I'll spew out the information later on. But I haven't heard anything special. I thought you were going to say prairie gentian or something at first, but I have not heard anything special about purple prairie clover. It's one of my favorite flowers. I have too much shade to grow it, but I will do some research and see if I can find any information on that for you.
Very good. Yeah, hang on, Mitch. Keep the radio on, and during our breaks, Teresa will do a little research.
Yes.
Thanks very much, and good going, Mitch. Love teachers. Debbie's calling in from Cambridge today. Hi, Debbie. Good morning.
Hi. I have a question about houseplants. Is it okay to transplant your houseplant in the winter?
When the light starts to... If you have to, sometimes you have to because the pot breaks or whatever happens. If you can wait until we start getting a little more light, so it is okay. It's not the most optimum time. But once you start seeing that we're getting more light, the houseplants are coming back to life, then go ahead and transplant it. And always just go up one or two pot sizes. You don't want to put a little plant in a huge container.
Very good. Thank you for the call. Again,
thanks.
You can call in your question or send a text, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Teresa, good morning from Somerset, Wisconsin. Good morning. You haven't been to Somerset in a while. My apple trees have been girdled by rabbits. I have read that you can graft branches across the area to save the tree. Do you have any experience with this?
I have no experience on that. I would probably Google that, and I don't think you find any information on the University of Minnesota website. Maybe something over in Wisconsin. I think they have some information on grafting and jumping over that girdle. That's a tough one. Now, if the girdle is below where the rootstock, then you will have to girdle it. You will have to do it. If it's above, and they've girdled above, they did that to my trees one year. They girdled all above where it had been put onto rootstock, and so it was able to come back from above that rootstock because there was enough living tissue above that rootstock. But I don't have any information on it. I know it's a procedure, but you should be able to find something on Google, and then just when you're Googling it, put .edu at the end of it, and you will come up to educational website, not like Joe Blow grows trees or something like that. It will come up to more scientifically based information to give you a better chance.
All right, very good. Let's grab another phone call. Nancy calling in from Edina this morning. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, you guys. Good to hear you again. See, I have noticed in the grocery stores a little plant, and they call it heather something or other, and they're little fronds or little stems that go out, and they're really cute. It's like a light lavenders and some are light pinks. I don't know that I've ever seen those before. But is that a good thing for a house plant, and how do you keep it?
You could try it. They need a very a very lean soil. Think of the moors of England and Ireland. They need that kind of soil, very ericaceous. And they also like it kind of dry. I don't know, because they're a full sun plant, how well they do in the house. But I have seen them often during the holiday season. So you could give it a try. And I have Mitch's answer for him.
You do? Okay. By the way, thanks, Claire. Nancy, for the
thanks, Nancy. The call. That was a good question. Those are really cute plants, too. I think they're beautiful. Yeah.
Well, what did you come up with with your research?
So the purple prairie plant does have a very thick coat on it. So what you can do is the scarification, what you're doing right now, Mitch, is perfect. Also, you might want to take some sandpaper and lay the seeds on the sandpaper and top it with another sandpaper piece, and then just kind of rub them back and forth to break some of that seed coat a little bit. So I think that's what you're running into, is that very thick seed coat. And then probably before you transplant them outside, or before you get them to grow, once you've done all of that and you're ready to start the procedure, then I would probably soak them. That water will help to break that seed coat even more, and then start the growing process.
All right. So here's a question that we get quite often on this show. Today's no exception. And I know our listeners, besides you, will have options that work for them. What's the solution for those nasty fungus gnats?
Oh, fungus gnats. How exciting are fungus gnats? Okay. Fungus gnats are a little flying insect, looks like a fruit fly. And they don't do a lot of damage normally. What they're doing when they lay the eggs and then the little insects hatch, they're out there and they're eating the dead stuff in the soil, the debris in the soil. So they're helping to compost. However, if you get too much, they will start eating the plant roots. The annoying thing is that they fly up in your face and up in your nose and get in your food and things like that. It's kind of gross. So what you can do is, they live in the very top part of the soil, and that has to be moist. So if you can let your soil and the plants dry out just a little bit, that will really help. Some people also will buy a mosquito dunk and put that in the water that they're watering the plant, and then as it breaks down, use that plant water in. The mosquito dunk will affect the little caterpillar-like things. It's a bacteria that will impact that their growth and kill the baby ones off, so they don't turn into fruit flies. Into fungus gnats. Some people also will just top their plants with a quarter inch or half inch of sand. The sand dries out very quickly, and the fungus gnats lay their eggs on the sand, but it dries out, so the eggs never hatch. So if you can back off on the watering, let the top part grow off, maybe consider mosquito dunks, and then also or use the sand on top of the soil. Those things may work for you. They're just an annoyance. They're not a big issue, but they are very annoying sometimes.
Yeah, for sure they are annoying.
Yeah.
Teresa, hang on. We're going to have a look at that forecast. And we have about another half hour of the show to go, so if you didn't get your question answered or you're thinking, maybe I'll call in or maybe I'll text in, do that. 651-461-9226. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions today on our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we're back with our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions for you today, either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. Speaking of phones, Teresa, Jack checking in from Jenkins this morning. Jack, I understand, are you in an ice house right now?
I am in an ice house right now, yes, and it's hard to believe. I just caught about an 18-inch walleye while I was waiting for your call.
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, we're CCO's bringing you luck then. That's great.
question on rototilling my garden in the spring. I do a lot of my veggie waste and stuff. Some people say rototill, some say don't rototill. What's your thoughts on that?
Unless you're starting your garden from scratch, you probably don't have to rototill. if you have a big open plot and you're walking on it and tramping it down all summer, then you may have to rototill. If, however, you could start to make dedicated paths and dedicated planting plots, then you will never have to rototill. And when you rototill, all the organisms in the soil live at certain levels. So when you rototill, you go in there and you're like a tornado and you destroy all their those levels that they've built and that they live at. So they have to rebuild their populations. In addition, you add a whole bunch of oxygen into the soil, which is good for plants that are growing there. However, there's no plants there yet. And by the time the seed starts growing, all that oxygen has been depleted. So it makes the soil nice and fluffy, and it feels good, and it's wonderful. It looks fun. But if you can go with the no-till rototilling or minimal rototilling in those areas where you have to, that's the best thing that you could possibly do. We used to have to rototill or till up because people were using animals to walk the field and pull the plows, and those animals would break the soil down, and then there'd be a lot of walking and tractors driving on it. But if you don't have horses that you're using and you're not using a tractor in your yard, if you can minimize crushing the soil and just leave it as it is, that's the best thing you can do for your soil.
All right.
Good luck with more fishing,
yeah,
Jack.
Continued success. Oh, walleye. I'm looking at another text to Teresa. Good morning. It says, can a cut-off gallon jug with potting soil be used to start spring flower seeds? And what are some of the good ones to buy? Love the show.
Yes, that would work perfectly. Make sure to have drainage holes in the bottom of the containers. And the best flower seeds to buy are the flowers that you love and that will work in your situation. So some of my favorites are cosmos. Marigolds are very easy to grow. 4 o'clocks could be kind of fun. But it's whatever makes you happy and brings a smile to your face. Nasturtiums are wonderful. They don't like being transplanted, so transplant them gently. They don't rip apart the roots if you don't have to. Be very gentle with them. But a lot of flowers are out there. You could do some herbs to mix with your flowers. That would be wonderful. So whatever flower speaks to your heart and will work in the situation you want it, whether it's a container, a sunny or shady part of your garden, that's the flower that you should plant and the one that makes you smile when you're growing it. And just read the seed packets. Go to the Extension website and it will give you information. The seed packet will tell you, start this plant outside, direct sow it, or start this seed inside, so many days before the last frost in your area for transplanting out, and then you go from there. Good luck and have fun growing your beautiful flowers.
Excellent. Let's get back to the phones, Teresa. Go to Star Prairie this morning. Phyllis is there. Phyllis, good morning. What is your question?
Good morning. I do have two questions, actually. The first one is, we're very rural, very forested, and there are large number of trees that all of a sudden have their bark is turning a very light golden brown, and it doesn't look good. I was wondering if you have any idea, is that the ash borer in these trees? It's not the oaks, that's for sure.
Are they ash trees?
I don't know enough about forestry to name the tree. It's just that it is really spreading, and it's this light golden brown just spreading way up and down the trees.
Okay, so first of all, you'll need to identify the trees. If you can, go to your extension office in your city, in your county, call them and see if they have any information. If you can take pictures, you can go to the extension website online, and you could send up to 3 pictures to a master gardener. It really will help if you could identify the tree, because ash borer only hits ash trees. So if you don't have ash trees, then you're okay. But if it is something like an ash tree, the bark color doesn't sound normal for ash borer. Doesn't sound like an indicator. So it really depends on that. And also talk to your extension office and see if they have city foresters or county foresters that can come out and look, because they will want to look if you're seeing this all through your forest there. They'll want to see what it is.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Do you know what it is? And you had another question. Is Phyllis still on the line?
Yes, yes, please. On an earlier show, you mentioned a type of tape where it had carrot seeds or lettuce seeds, and that was easier to put in the ground. What was the company that you recommended purchasing those from?
Okay, that probably wasn't me. It was probably someone else. You could find that seed tape at your garden centers or online if you buy from a catalog. They'll often have seed tape, and that's what it's called, seed tape. You can also make your own, like with toilet paper and your seeds, and then you can plant it too if you want to try that. If you have little ones you want to try that with, or if it's something that you want to try at home, there is information online how to do that too, to make your own seed tape. But any garden center will have a good seed tape, or if you're buying from good catalogs for seeds, they will also probably have some seed tape, or you could contact them, and they'd be, if you trust that catalog, then go with what they say.
All right, very good.
Good luck.
And we have so many, I've mentioned it often, so many great garden centers, large and small.
We do.
And it's great to patronize them, for sure.
And you can even just wander in. Like a big box store is probably might have some, but they might not have the expertise to help you.
Right.
But if you wander into your garden center now, if they're open, they might be a little bored because they don't have plants yet, but engage them talking about seeds and seed tape, and you'll make their day, and it'll be a fun conversation for both of you to have. And you're
good thing to do this weekend.
It's a great thing to do, or this week as everybody's getting really antsy with the warmer weather.
Absolutely. Here's one for you via text. I inherited a small house plant called Mother of Millions. Can you tell me about it? How should I care for it? And can it go outside this summer? Mother of Millions.
Mother of Millions. It's got like little balls, and they just kind of, it's a small plant, and you usually grow it hanging because the balls just go over on a vine, and then the vine is covered with little tiny green balls, like peas. They look like little peas all over the vine. It's a moderate to bright light plant, I believe, and it's going outside. I would put it in a sheltered space to see how it goes. You don't want to have it whacking around in the wind or get hit by hail or anything like that. It's kind of fleshy, so you don't want it to be breaking off and doing that. But as a house plant, it's quite beautiful. It's a very, very old-fashioned plant. Have fun with that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. This texter says this, Teresa. I have ever-bearing raspberries. July crop is great. Fall crop is crumbly with large cells the last couple of years. I don't know what's happening.
It might be some disease that's in there, but I would guess more because your first crop is good. I would guess it's more of a weather-related problem that we're running into there. Probably something with a very dry August into September. It's very dry, very kind of arid, and the plants just aren't getting what they need. It may be too hot sun also, or maybe not enough sun if we're getting cloudy days from fires, or if we're having a lot of just overcast days like we did last year. Some things just didn't ripen. So I would guess it's more of a weather problem that you're running into. So see what's going on good in the spring. Kind of note the weather. Is the soil staying moist? Does the soil dry out well for you? What is everything doing? And then see how that differs for your garden in the second season. And then you'll be able to figure out, I can change this. I can water more, water less, or there's not much I can do because maybe it gets a lot more shade in that area in that late part of the summer, and there's nothing I can do, or it's just so hot. Maybe I can put a shade cloth out. So see what's different between the two growing seasons, and that will really give you some ideas how to change that. Good luck.
All right. This listener had planned to prune their oak trees at the end of this month. Now, with the warm weather we're having, will that be too late?
No, I think because we'll probably get cold again. Just make sure that it's not warm enough where you're thinking that there's a lot of insects out there. So if we're getting into the 40s and 50s, maybe not. But if we're staying under 40, you probably should be okay doing that just fine.
Very good.
And double-check the extension website. Sometimes they put out warnings like, don't prune your oaks now or whatever. They may have something going on. So just double-check it.
Extension.umn.edu. Always a great read there. Mm-hmm. Hang on, Teresa. A quick break is in order. We'll be back with more of our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. We're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney has been answering those questions and will continue to do so until we're done here. We've got about 8-10 minutes to go. This texter says this, Teresa, I've been keeping plants growing in wintertime with grow lights. How many hours of light should I give them?
Give them about like 16 if you can, If that hits the budget too hard, then bring it down to like 14, 12. But 16 would be really good. Can put them on a timer, and then you won't forget to turn them off and save some money there. But, yep, they'd like a nice long light. That would be wonderful.
Very good.
Good for you.
This is Judy who sent a text saying, I would like to, does not have a green thumb, by the way. I would like to get a peace lily. Are they hard to keep alive?
They are not hard to keep alive, Judy. What I would suggest with the peace lily is it's a little sensitive to the water from our taps. So if you're going to get one, either give it water like distilled water or something like that from the store, or just leave your water sit out overnight to come to room temperature. The peace lily wilts really easy, so as soon as you see it start to wilt, give it some water, and that will help it. Can do moderate to brighter light. It's okay for those places in your home that's not super bright, but of course the more light it can get, not direct hot sun like it's not a cactus, but if it gets a brighter light, it will be a little happier for you. And it is one of the easier plants to grow, so be brave. You can do this.
All right. Here's something I haven't heard of. Maybe you have. Have you heard, Texter says, about purple cherry tomatoes? I saw them on television. They're supposed to be super sweet.
I have heard of the purple cherry tomatoes. Go ahead and try them. See if you like them. Some people's sweet is different than other people's sweet, but that's the wonder of our tomato crops that we grow here. They have such a variety, but I have heard a lot of people are trying them and a lot of people are enjoying them. So
I'm going to try that this year. I always grow, last year, not a great year, but sweet 100s.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I usually, if I'm going to try a tomato, I do that. I have chipmunks who like my tomatoes. so they leave me the skin and they eat all the fruit, the flesh inside. So that's really special.
Oh, nice of them.
Yes, those are nice.
When you were talking earlier, texture says about fungus gnats, you mentioned using a mosquito something. Well, yeah, what was that?
You can usually find it as a mosquito dunk, D-U-N-K. A lot of times people will put those in their rain barrels. If the mosquitoes can get in and lay eggs in their rain barrels, or if they have ponds and they don't want the mosquito larva to grow, the little, it just went out of my brain what they're called, those little rascals, but they don't want those in there. So they're like little round things. I think you can also buy it in a pelletized form. It'll be at your garden center, so just talk to your garden center about it. They'll know.
Mosquito dunk.
Dunk, D-U-N-K, like dunking a donut in coffee.
Very good. This listener says this. You're going to help me with this. My buckeye tree got Guinardia leaf blotch last year. Will it be affected this year, too? What is that?
Denny, you did that pronunciation very, very well. I'm quite impressed. We're going to make a gardener out of you yet, Denny. We'll get you in the program no matter what.
Excellent.
Anyway, that is it's a fungal disease, so it's caused by when we have really damp and humid weather and the leaves are staying wet. We had a wet spring last year, if I remember right. The years blend together, I forget. And it's just more of an aesthetic thing. It really shouldn't hurt the tree at all. I wouldn't start a spraying program or anything like that. It just makes the tree look a little yucky because you do get these rusty brown patches on the leaves and then they have bright yellow edges. So it's a fungus disease, a fungal disease. So clean up all the leaves that fall really well. send them to your city compost just to kind of get some of that fungal spores out of your environment, if possible. And then also, what you might want to do is if it's a big, thick, heavy canopy tree, maybe have someone, a good tree service, come in there and open that canopy up just a little bit to include some more air circulation. Other than that, that's about all you can do. You shouldn't have to worry. It's not going to impact the health of the tree. And it really depends on the weather that we get. So if we get, you know, hot, dry weather, you're not going to have much of a problem. But if it's a cooler, moisture weather for a long time, you could get those spores again, infecting those leaves. Again, okay. It's just mostly just aesthetics. It just makes the tree look bad.
Looking at another text, Teresa, that says this: last year was the worst year I had for my tomatoes and cucumbers and other veggies. When I pulled them out of the ground, there was a lot of white bugs. Were they water bugs, or do I need to dig out the soil and replace it with fresh soil this year?
I wouldn't worry about the soil. It could just be that there was something in there that the plants were struggling. Maybe it was a little too wet. I don't know what the little white bugs were. They could have just been enjoying a lot of whatever organic matter was in the soil. They could have been feeding on roots. Depends on why the plants weren't doing really well. I think we had a lot of overcast days, so it was just harder for some of our pollinators to fly, so we didn't get the pollination on the cucumbers. And we had a lot of overcast days, which just makes it hard for plants to produce fruit and get enough energy to grow to produce fruit. If you want to, you can add some, get your soil tested from the university. It's not going to tell you about bugs or anything, but it will tell you if there's some lacking in the soil of some micronutrients or macronutrients. And then just use a good fertilizer. Maybe add some compost into the soil. Remember to rotate the crops if you can at all. And then just watch for specific problems. If it's just a lack of growing, it's just a lack of something going on in the environment. However, if you're seeing damaged leaves, try to figure out what that is. The Extension website has some really good information about what's wrong with my plant. Or if you can bring samples to a master gardener or send in good pictures to a master gardener if you're seeing leaves browning or getting big spots on them or something like that, that could give them some information to try to help you.
Very good. Noticing a text, that's a great idea. I don't mention it. I should mention, texter says, that people can listen to past shows
they
on
can.
The CCO website. Yeah.
Yes, they can. And on the Extension website.
I don't want to take traffic
away from the CCO website. But yes, when you're over on the Extension website, you can also listen to Smart Gardens, and then you can watch Hort Shorts, they call them, on YouTube from the university, too. So you can, you know, if you need more reason not to do the dishes or make supper, there's even more things you can do on the website.
Those videos
are
so great.
I'm trying to help you people out here. I'm trying to help you.
Absolutely. Another texter says this, Teresa: can I winter sow onion seeds, the candy or Walla Walla variety? And if so, when? Walla Walla.
I would think winter sowing for onions, especially like the Walla Walla, I don't think they're going to be winter hardy. You could try it, but onion seeds are so slow to come up. I would probably just do them as you've normally have done them in the past, or purchase the seedlings in the past to get them up and growing for you. They just germinate so slowly, and I don't know that the onions would make it through winter sowing. I don't think they would be hardy like that. You can try it, but I would expect very low germination, if any.
Very good. Less than 2 minutes to go. I have trouble, texter says, planting carrot seeds because they're so tiny. Do you have hints on how to do this?
Well, as the nice lady mentioned earlier with seed tape, Phyllis did, you could try a seed tape. You can buy that or make your own, and that's where you can just sit carefully with some toilet paper and some carrot seeds and a little tweezers, and one day when you're really bored or while you're watching the Super Bowl or something, and just carefully put them at spacing. Otherwise, just sow them as thinly as you can. Mark your rows with maybe a radish or two, because the radishes sprout really quickly, and then you'll know where your carrot row is. Also make sure to put markers in. But then as the seedlings come up, with a tiny scissors or your thumb, just start to thin them out. out because it's totally normal to over-sow them. You can take those little thinnings that you cut them. Don't pull them out because you don't want to pull out their sisters and brothers next to them. You just don't want to disturb those. So just cut the extra ones where they're too thick at surface level. You can eat those on your salads, or you can just let them in the row and let them decompose back into the soil. But they are tiny seeds, and it's just something we all kind of fight with. I know there are some gadgets in the world where you can put seeds on the top of a pole, and then it carefully lets seeds down. I don't know if that would work for carrot seeds because they're so small.
We have to run, Teresa. Thanks for so much for all your great help. Always fun having you on the radio. And don't forget to get on the website, extension.umn.edu, and always get to the Arboretum. Teresa, thanks so much.
Thanks, Denny. Bye, everybody.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.